Hello everyone, today is February 23rd and we are in our Shir and Shmir for the 12 tribes. We are doing Yisachar and Zvulun together today. They're often treated together and they were born to the same mother at around the same time, to Yaakov. And remember, just to, the background is that Yaakov had four sons in a row with Leah, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, and then she stopped giving birth. Then Rachel gave her handmaiden Bilhah to Yaakov, and then they had Dan and Naphtali. And then Leah, before she saw that that worked for Rachel, gave Zilpah to Yaakov, right? And they had Gad and Asher, right? So Yaakov now has eight children. Rachel still is doesn't have any children, right? And so Rachel is really in a bad way. Yaakov has eight, and everyone's giving him children but her. And the story that leads to the birth of Yisachar, as well as Zvulun, is maybe something we should read inside. Okay, Parshas Vayetze. So open up your Tanachs.
I always had a question. Where would Yaakov know all this? Out of the field.
Trying to keep them.
To keep everybody happy.
No.
Okay, everybody. Okay, we are on page 72 at the top of the page on the beginning of the fourth Aliyah. Now, we're going to find out at the end of Parshas, at the end of the story, in Parshas Vayishlach, how Reuven was profoundly zealous for his mother's honor. Right? Whatever he did with Bilhah to make sure that Yaakov's favors should not turn to after Rachel was no longer a competition for his mother's love to his father, that now his mother's, now Rachel's handmaid should take away my mother's attention from my father. I won't let that happen. Now, what did he actually do to assure that wouldn't happen? In Pshat, he slept with her, right? And Yaakov would never go near her afterwards. The drash is that, and this is all over Chazal and Bereishis Rabbah and the various places, that Reuven didn't actually do such a terrible thing. What he actually did was he on his own moved his father's couch from Bilhah's tent to his mother's tent as a sign that I will tell you who your favorite should be. Right? Okay, I'm not going to get into the intricate details of why the Bible would malign Reuven so if all he did was move a couch. Whatever it is, it was a trespass against his father's preferences. But if you will, Chazal can give him a pass because his intentions were honorable. My mother, I'm very zealous for my mother's kavod. Okay, so we know this about Reuven. He wants his mother to be respected. So he comes from the field, beginning of the fourth Aliyah. Vayelech Reuven b'mei tzir chitim. Vayimtza dudaim. Why we're told what time of year it is, Rashi says, has a moral component to it, right? For what he would consider to be his to take. What dudaim do you have to take? Whose are they? You could just pick dudaim from the. Right? I remember the summer we met. I picked some flowers for you on the side of the road. Right? Those were ostensibly hefker. Right? I didn't think at the time, is this public, private property, or is it? It was just on the side of a highway. There were no houses for a long place, right? Right? Do I have to go back there and find out who owned it back there in 1979 and see if I have to pay for those flowers? I don't know. But Chazal are interested. They don't care about me, but they do care about Reuven. So Reuven was picking flowers that he was entitled to. Okay? In the Sodeh. Where else are you going to find flowers? All right. So anyway, the Gemara, I'm sort of glossing over things that are not germane to our inyan. which is Yisachar's food. All right, Vayaveo sam Elea imo. He brought the flowers to Leah, his mother. Now, what these flowers were for, what their purpose is. So I will tell you that there are 10 different opinions. I will tell you that the two that make the most sense are that in the ancient world, they felt that they were aids to fertility.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, Leah doesn't appear to need any help with fertility, but in fact, when we see lists of akarot in Tanakh, Leah is usually on that list. She starts off as an akara, yeah, because it says Vayiftach Hashem et Rachma.
Oh.
Also done by his heart.
Right? So the fact that Vayiftach Hashem et Rachma implies that she starts off as an akara. Okay. Right, so
born like shortly after they got married.
Yeah, don't they say she became pregnant on her wedding night, and that's how she got him to stay? She said you have to wait 3 months and see what my status is.
Yeah, so that's part of Vayiftach Hashem et Rachma, is that Hashem made it that way to compensate for her status. Okay, So he gave them to his mother. So one opinion is that they're fertility. Another opinion is he doesn't think his mother needs any assistance with fertility, although she has, you know, she has stopped. It's been Yehuda. There have been 4 children since then. So rather, they have the effect. Some say they were violets. Some say that they were an aphrodisiac kind of flower that could be used, that the scent of the flower would make Yaakov be more enamored of her.
Hmm.
Okay, so whatever, that the flowers are more than just hi mom, you know, I'm bringing home flowers for Shabbos. You know, it was more than that. It was not another something he did all the time. Right? Okay. Vatomer Rachel Elea Tnina Li Miduda Ebeneich. She didn't ask for all of them. She asked for some of them. Can you please give me some of these flowers? Right. Why does Rachel want them? Well, that would appear more obvious. Right?
He has no children.
Vatomer La. So Leia told Rachel, Hamad Kachtech es Ishi Velokachas Gam es Duda Ebeni. So this pasuk represents why we're going to know later in the Torah why man should never marry 2 sisters, even at a time where polygamy was tolerated, because it's not right to put 2 sisters with this kind of competition, right? Co-wives are called tzara in the Bible for a good reason.
It doesn't even seem fair. It's Leah who took
Rachel's
husband.
Right?
They were supposed to be married.
Right. So you know,
she's convinced herself that
you could have told our father over my dead body, I'm not doing this. Well, that wouldn't hurt my sister this way. And when Yaakov confronted her in the morning, the Medrash says, by saying, "You must have been in on this." It was, well, my father said he'd kill me if I didn't. I don't know whatever how Lavan convinced her to do it, whatever it is. But you stood there, mm-hmm. right? And then she said, "And you did not similarly hurt your brother by standing in front of him." Right? Mm-hmm. Right? You got the exact opposite treatment. You were the younger, behaving like the older. So as soon as you said, Anuchi Esav Becharecha, you know, remember the Chazal say her eyebrows rubbed
right.
off because she was crying, knowing that she's getting the older brother, where Rachel gets the younger brother. Okay, so Magi Ali, you know, I'm getting Esav Becharecha. I'm getting the Esav I bargained for. Mm-hmm. Right? So she was a little snarky with him, and this is why, you know, she was hated, you know, the Medrash says. Okay, anyway. So she says, it's not enough that you took my husband. Now you want to take my son's... It doesn't say the flowers. She says, my son's flowers.
Uh-huh.
Right? So we see that there must have been some profound kind of competition between the two of them to populate this nation. They knew that this is something big going on. They know they're the generation after Avraham and Yitzchak. They know the promises. They know they're raised for something very special and something very grand, and that something bad is happening before that grand stuff happens, because we're supposed to be strangers in a strange land for hundreds of years. All right, but they're acting out history, and that's important for them. V'yavu Yaakov min ha-sodeh ba'erev. Yaakov was, of course, as always, you know, sort of above the fray on these kind of things. V'teitze le'a likraso v'tomer elai tavo. Ki sachor schartiha bedude ebeni. So there's two different things going on, right? One is with her sister and one is with her husband. And there's a double schar here. This explains the two sins in the name, but we only pronounce one of them. Right? There are a lot of different minhagim of how to lay that word. Some have the minhag, the very first time it appears in Parshas Vayetze, to read it Yisachar and then never again. Some do the opposite. They read it Yisachar and then our minhag is to always read it Yisachar. There's just a very fascinating drash is that Yisachar has a son named Yeshuv in Parshas Vayigash, and in Parshas Pinchas he's called Yov. The shin falls out, right?
They're not two different people.
So no, it's the same son. And that the extra shin here, Yisachar, went to him. It's Kabbalistic and it means a lot of different things, but I'm going to table it right now. But the Schor Schartiha explains the two sins in the name. So Yaakov Taka did sleep with the one who had the flowers. And guess what? After all those years of not conceiving, now she did. Right? This means Yaakov was not praying for her. And Yaakov was saying Shemon Esra every day, he was praying for Rachel. Right? Remember what we did earlier about Avraham and Sarah and Yitzchak and Leah and Rivka, right? When Avraham complained to God in chapter 15 about being childless, he said, God, what does all these promises mean considering that I am childless? Had he said, considering that we are childless, Jewish history would have been very different. This is how we, you know, Ramban reads Sefer Bereishis. Right? Because Hashem's answer to Avraham is, don't say you're childless, Avraham. You will have a child. But the you is singular there. If Avraham said, God, Sarah and I have had trouble conceiving. What good is being a great nation if we are childless? Then Hashem would say, don't say that you, in plural, are childless. You and Sarah will have a child. Avram doesn't have that insider information yet in chapter 15. He only gets it in chapter 17 after chapter 16, which is his marriage to Hagar. When Sarah suggests that it's quite obvious that you're not being a great nation with me, try being a great nation with Hagar, right? That kind of advice went sour quickly, but Avraham would have told her the insider information he had by then, that Sarah, I don't need to do that. It may come sooner, it may come later, but Hashem promised me I'm going to have a child with you, and I'm not having that child with someone else. Then we would have no Hagrim, no Yishmael, no... Right? Okay.
How old was Reuven in the story? He must have been at least...
He's a teenager.
He's young. He's young.
Or seven? He couldn't have been that old.
But we know how long Yaakov was in
Haran. Right.
So the whole thing is everyone is born quickly.
Very quickly. Right. So
he's born right away.
And there could be overlap, by the way, between Dan, Naphtali, and God and Asher. Do not have to be 4 years.
Right. It could have been.
They could be all around the same age.
Mm-hmm. Right, Reuven's a teenager, maybe.
That's true.
Okay. From the time he got, remember, he didn't start having children until he was there at least 7 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he only spent 20 years there, two more years on the way home, so.
Yeah. He's about 13.
Reuven's, you know, at best, you know.
13.
Even younger, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Oldest 13.
Okay. All right, so when Hashem told Avraham, don't worry, Avraham, stop worrying it. You will have a child. And you know, there'll be strangers in a strange land, there'll be great numbers. So Avraham feels good about that. When Sarah tells him, maybe you have a child with Hagar. He says, you know, God didn't tell me anything about that. Then maybe Avram asked for an oracle at that point. There's no pasuk that says this, but I assume that Avram prayed to Hashem that night and said, God, my wife is suggesting that I take Hagar. Is that the right thing to do? And Hashem didn't answer him. How do we know that something like that might take place? Look at the pasuk Gimel in Perek Tet Zayin. Pasuk Gimel Perek Tet Zayin indicates that Avram did not rush to do this. You got it right there. Next page. Well, what makes me say that? Because after
and
suggesting this,
that Sarah's the one doing
all that. Sarah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say what Yikach Avram is.
He didn't really want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that Avram did not rush to do this.
But it does say Veishman Nekor Sarai.
Yes, but that she had to make it happen. Avram, well, come on, I told you to do something. Just do it. So she has to do it. All right, but Hashem doesn't necessarily come to everyone at the moment. He seems to only do that to Moshe. Okay? All right, when Yitzchak, however, is told that he's going to be a great nation, so you know he knows from Abraham what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And when it says, V'yitayi Yitzchak L'Hashem L'nochach Ishto, Ki Yakarahi,
he learned the lesson of his father.
He learned the lesson to pray for the wife. Right? So, I don't know anything here, but I just say, it's when it says, and God heard her voice, and she became pregnant with a fifth child, I'm just using typical rabbinic exegesis that means she's praying, he's not. Because if he's praying for Rachel.
Right.
Okay, makes sense. And she had not one, but two children after this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she called the first one Yisachar, and the second one she called Zvulun. Right, Vishma Lokim Aleya Vatar Vatel Yaakov Ben Chamishi Vatom Aleya Nosan Elokim Schari Asher Nosati Shiv Chasili Ishi Vatikra Shmo Yisachar. Okay, God gave me back my schar. Now this is at least 9 months. Apparently, the point of the story is that she conceived that night, that very night. Right. So some months later, she remembered this conversation and named the child after what she said there. The schar, however, isn't the flowers. The schar is that I gave over my shivcha to him.
That wasn't a conversation that happened way before the Dudaim. Not way before, but
correct.
This does not have to do with the Dudaim.
So she
she's making up another reason because says it's there, she says I bought you for the night.
Because she's saying that I know why Rachel gave over her handmaiden to Yaakov. But I wanted so much for him to have more and more children to populate this great nation that I did it too when I didn't really have to. I gave him the children. In fact, I gave him more than my allotment, Rashi says, if she knew that everyone's having three, that it's 12 altogether, right?
That's why you knew that for the
right, and that's why you...
Now I'm thinking about that my portion.
Right, that's what Rashi says. Okay. She's looking back at the flowers and saying, it's not that. It's that I...
gave over my handmaiden.
I want so much to Yaakov to have more and more children. But now I'm getting my own. And Vataharod? Vatelet ben Shishi li Yaakov. In other words, Yaakov didn't refrain from being with her.
Oh.
Listen, you have enough children. Right? So, Zvadani Elokim Osi Zeved Tov. Right? Hapam Yizbaleni Ishi. Wow, we're really mixing up verbs and nouns here. Zion Bet Lamed and Zion Bet Dalid.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Beis Hamikdash is called a Beit Zvul. Beit Zvul Lo. Zvul means a place, meaning a set place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, permanent home, right? Okay. Okay, so Kilalati lo shisha banim atikra shmo Zvulun. All right, so that's Yisachar and Zvulun together. Now let's look at, now we can close this because I have the other psukim on the parchment page. I'm sorry, but we're doing the Shvatim. I'll do Dina separately. No, there's probably more interesting stuff on Dina than all of them put together. You look at Chazal, who Dina is. Wow, she's all over the place. Very disparate opinions about who she was. Anyone familiar with them?
No? Just that Dina was in a box.
He wasn't. She wasn't presented to Asa. That she's Osnat. She married Yosef. She married Yosef. Either she or her daughter.
Oh, I didn't know.
That she's Potiphera or Osnat. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Foreign kings love this girl. I don't know. You know.
Then there's that thing that Shimon married her, right? He took pity on her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That he took her into his house.
Because no one else wanted to marry her.
She was raped, but who's going to take care of her? So that sounds like Shimon took her.
Mm-hmm, that's what he's just saying, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we spoke about this when we did Shimon and Levi, that when he negotiated for her, she was in Shechem at the time. Because it says the brothers came in, routed the city, and took their sister home.
Right.
So what did they have to go and... you've got the girl. What do you need to bargain with her father for?
They wanted
to
be married?
So if she's locked away. So Ramban comes up with the following scenario. This is not really related to Shimon and Yisachar and Zvulun, but Ramban comes up with the following scenario that you know, he's the king's son, so he gets to have, you know, the woman of his choice, I guess, in his own mind. But she didn't want him mishumayfin. So she was very, very moody and would never, you want to take me in by force every single night? Go ahead. I probably wouldn't be able to overcome you. But that's what you're going to have to do. All right? So that's what you want? I'm going to be crying and whimpering and screaming every time you touch me. Right? So kill me. You kill me. You can do that. But he wanted her. So he went home to Yaakov and the brothers to say, convince your sister to be a good wife and to want me, and I'll do anything you say. That's the scenario Ramban says. And the brothers seem a little more humane in the way they're saying, listen, you know what? We have to debunk this kind of behavior. Because that's what Avram was afraid of with Sarah. It's what Yitzchak was twice. It's what Yitzchak was afraid of. That important men get to take any woman they want. Married, single, and married men are afraid to travel. So Shimon and Levi changed that in the world. Sounds a little like what's going on, you know what I'm saying? That some behaviors had to be debunked. And Shimon and Levi all of a sudden now have a sort of a different kind of persona to them of what they did. Of course it was impetuous, and it was rooted in saving the disgrace of their sister and in that world their family also. I mean, today the honor killings that they do, and you know, in the world that's based on the similar kind of behavior, but that's really what's going on. Okay.
So having that background, though, for his father, his grandfather doing it twice, his father doing it once, why wasn't Yaakov the one who said, "Look, this happened to my father and my grandfather. We have to act." Why?
Fear.
But yeah, Yaakov is so. Mistamas Rachel is very pregnant by now. By the way, she's about to die, giving birth to Binyamin. They had to leave that place because of this. They moved away from Shechem because they went to Beersheba, I think, when they went. And she dies along the way. Maybe he might have even blamed it on them. You know, he had to leave in a very pregnant state, and maybe she died b'derech. That's why Yaakov doesn't want to send Binyamin. His brother died b'derech. His mother died b'derech. He's more of a danger b'derech. Anyway, I'm getting very sidetracked, but because of Dina. No, we did this because of Dina. No, not this Dina. The Dina that's gracious. Okay. But I think we should dedicate a full Sunday to Tina. We will do that. Okay. What you see, however, in both Vayechi, which is this little thing to the right, is that the two of them are blessed together in Vayechi and in Vizosa Bracha. The only two who are treated together is Shimon and Levi in Yaakov's Bracha. But no one is treated together in both Vayechi and Vizosa Bracha. Mm-hmm. In fact, Shimon is not even mentioned in Vizosa Bracha. Fails to mention Shimon. Right? It's not mentioned specifically. Doesn't appear. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
he's like faded away into the other Shvatim by then.
Into Yehuda. As we learned in Sefer Yehoshua. So you see, Luzvulun Amar Smach Zvulun Betzeisecha V'Yisachar Be'Ohalecha. Zvulun goes out. Yisachar stays in the tent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The next pasuk is an indication of where they will have their land. It's a good way to learn Parshas Vayechi together with Sefer Yehoshua. Because whatever Yaakov blesses them happens to them in Sefer Yehoshua. Okay? So in the Vizos HaBracha, look to the left on the front page. It says, Vulun l'chof yamim yishkon v'hu l'chof an yos v'yar kaso al tzidon. Yisochar chamor garem ravetz ben mishpatayim. This is Vayechi. I'm sorry. I read before Vizos HaBracha.
You did Vizos
HaBracha. Yeah. What both Yaakov and Moshe do with Zvulun and Yisachar is invert them.
Yeah.
Mm.
They seem to be treated similarly. They're living in the same place.
Yisachar was born first.
Yisachar is born first. He's the schar for the that comes first. Chor Schaticha. So why in both places is Zvulun preceding Yisachar? In both places, Zvulun is out there. He goes out. L'chof yamim. L'chof aniyot.
Mm-hmm.
He's b'tzei secha. Yisachar is a chamor garem ben mishpatayim. He sits back.
Because maybe it's harder to be out there and maintain your Yiddishkeit than to sit in a tent and just learn.
Okay, let's see. So, let's see what's happening with that. Interestingly, that terminology ben mishpatayim, it's used only on one other time in the Tanakh. Does it sound familiar? Devorah uses it when complaining about the tribes that didn't come to help her defeat Sisera. Mm-hmm. But Yisachar was one of the tribes that did come.
Mm-hmm.
Reuven didn't. She was complaining specifically about Reuven, but Yisachar did. In fact, Baruch ben Avinoam was from Sefer Yisachar. So,
I'm
sorry?
What does it mean, that word, Mishpatayim?
It just, in between the borders of a cattle. It means that you're resting, not going where you should be going. So she said that, where are all the tribes that were resting Ben Mishpatayim and didn't come to help me in the war effort? Okay. So we see what Chazal create from these two references. If you can turn now, we have. Next two pages, you can see them together, is a book called Ishei HaTanach, Ishei Chasida. Okay. So these are the Midrashim, not about Shevet Yisachar, but about the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so it gives you their birthdays. The one that I just want to see at the bottom of page Resh Mem Dalet, it says Yisachar Yoshev Ve'Osek B'Torah Uzvulun Yotzei B'Yamim Uba V'Nosein L'Soch Piv Shal Yisachar. Right, if you turn to the next page at the top, Bnei Yisachar Him Chachamim U'Mumchei Cheshbon.
They're all the accountants.
Lo nimtza tamid chacham moreh hora ela o mishevet Levi o mishevet Yisachar. Wow, where did rabbis get this? That Yisachar, well, because they learned Torah, they sat and learned. Mm-hmm. And so, who Who supported them while they did this? Zvulun.
How'd they get that they're good at numbers?
Yeah, okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Remember that we spoke about Yaakov hoping that Yitzchak hoped that Esav and Yaakov could live an existence like this, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That
yeah, no one wants to
let,
said,
let Esav, yeah. Well, let Esav have
to go off the dock.
Let Esav have the Gashmius. Uh-huh. Yaakov will have the Ruchnius, and Esav will support Yaakov. Uh-huh. Right? That was something that Yaakov was, Yitzchak was hoping.
But
Rivka knew better and acted on it, right? And she felt that you know, I carried these two boys. I know what can happen and what can't happen, right? Okay. Well, it is, as long as Vulun can maintain their riches from the shore. Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's the question that we ask today for people. Yeah. It's not sustainable with everybody.
It's only sustainable for a small
group. A small group. It was never meant to be... But don't make a mistake about thinking about what Yisachar was doing. They're not sitting down and sitting and learning.
It says that they're good at numbers, so they must be
doing
other things.
Yeah, they're chashbonos. They're doing other things. They're, but
they're
okay,
doing
so
ego work, let's say.
Like, right. So, because many people claim that as a justification for the kolom model or way of living.
But right, if you think of it, Yisachar is 1/12 of a whole nation.
Agreed.
but they're also they're not sitting and doing and learning the full time. Mm-hmm. All right, they're out there doing cheshbonot.
Mm-hmm. What exactly right? Does that mean?
So here I'm sure it's in
the
these sources are here.
People become accountants, yeah, and actuaries.
Could be there were good numbers, but. So if you look at the next page where it says Zvulun,
uh-huh.
It says Hayah Zvulun Oseik B'Mischar, towards the bottom of this box. Hayah Zvulun Oseik B'Mischar V'Yisachar Oseik B'Torah Zvulun Ba U'Machilo. Zvulun would support Yisachar, right?
So, but it also seems that if Zvulun is the one doing the business and Yisachar is good with cheshbon, that Zvulun is working, Yisachar is keeping the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They're doing, they're doing it together as a partnership.
Okay.
So someone might be good at sales, but someone at home has to record all the sales and make sure things aren't going wrong.
So, if you turn it to the next page, this is a book called Benesivos HaMedrash. Right? They have also an alphabetical listings, but it's more Yishei HaTanach is just individuals, it's personalities. What Benesivos HaMedrash is everything, uh-huh. Any topic. So you look under Yud, and you find Yisachar. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so. If you look at the first entry, it says Vahi li shor v'chamor, v'chamor ze Yisachar. When Yaakov pointed out his children to Esav, Tichsiv Yisachar chamor garem uvanav shel Yisachar yodim ma Hakadosh Baruch Hu oseh ba'olamo. His children were more than just chashbonos; they knew what God wanted in the world. Shneimar, here's the pasuk. It's a pasuk in Divrei Yamim. It says Umibnei Yisachar yodei bina leitim. L'da'as maya ase Yisrael, or Shehem Masayim.
What does that mean?
They knew itim cheshbonot to know what Israel should be doing. So the Gemara says that the highest smicha you could get, there was smicha for all kinds of things, for shechting, for being matir abachor, with a mum, for all kinds of things. like in NYU, they put your various things you study on your cloth, right? So the highest is to be able to determine the need for a leap year. That's the most exclusive smicha. That's the itim, the cheshbonot, to determine which month needs 30 days and which month needs 29 days. Ibur chodesh and ibur shana. That's the most exclusive smicha. And Yisachar had the claims to that ability. So this is the tribe. So this is a pasuk in Divrei Yamim, and it's from this pasuk that everything else flows. Of course, from the two pasukim in the Torah about Moshe and about Yaakov, right? Right. So it's from this pasuk in Divrei Yamim that they had Eitzah. They knew what to tell Israel, what needs to be done. Okay, that's been the Sivos HaMedrash. Now, what I have for you after this on page 287 to. You see what's going on in the next few pages?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, page 287 is originally in the Medrash when these children are born. Okay. You see at the top, it says, the next son born unto Yaakov was Yisachar. Okay. This work, I should put the name of it, is called Legends of the Jews, Lewis Ginsburg. All right. The next son born unto Yaakov was Yisachar, a reward. And once more it was Leah who was permitted to bring forth a child, as a reward from God for a pious desire to have the 12 tribes come into the world. To secure this result, she left no means untried. It happened once that her oldest son, Reuven, was tending his father's ass during the harvest, and he bound him to a root of Dudaim and went his way. On returning, he found the Dudaim torn out of the ground and the ass lying dead beside it. The beast had uprooted it in trying to get loose, and the plant has a peculiar quality. Whoever tears it up must die. You hear this? What is he? He's trying to say that he didn't steal these Dudaim from anybody. As it was the time of the harvest, when it is permitted for anyone to take a plant from a field, right, and as Dudaim is, besides, a plant which the owner of a field esteems lightly, Reuven carried it home, and he didn't steal. Being a good son, he did not keep it for himself, but gave it to his mother. Rachel desired the Dudaim, and she asked the plant for Leah, who parted with it to her sister, but on the condition that Jacob, when he returned from work in the evening, should tarry with her for a while. It was altogether unbecoming conduct in Rachel to dispose thus of her husband. She gained the Dudaim, but she lost two tribes. If she had acted otherwise, she would have borne four sons instead of two, and she suffered another punishment. Her body was not permitted to rest in the grave beside her husband's. Wow.
What?
That's
what?
This is a medrash not in mainstream midrashim. Okay.
So cruel to her.
Jacob came home from the field after night had fallen, for he observed the law obliging a day laborer to work until darkness sets in. And Jacob's zeal in the affairs of Lavan was as great in the last 7 years after his marriage as in the first seven, while he was serving for the hand of Rachel. When Leah heard the braying of Jacob's ass, she ran to meet her husband, and without giving him time to wash his feet, she insisted upon his turning aside into her tent. At first Jacob refused to go, but God compelled him to enter, for unto God it was known that Leah acted from pure disinterested motives. Her Dudaim secured two sons for her, Yisachar, the father of the tribe that devotes itself to the study of the Torah, whence his name means reward, and Zvulun, whose descendants carry down commerce, using their profits to enable their brethren of Yisachar to keep up their studies. Leah called the last born son of hers Zvulun, dwelling place, for she said, "Now will my husband dwell with me, seeing that I have borne him six sons, and also the sons of Zvulun will have a goodly dwelling place in the Holy Land." Okay, next is for Dina, which we'll do another time.
Where is this?
These are, you have to see the footnotes, they're all described. And here you see the two different maps of where Zvulun and Yisachar lived. They controlled relatively small areas. Okay, only Zvulun has a small little area according to the left, the map on the left that comes near the coast. The one on the right, he has no coast at all.
Yeah.
He's supposed to have the coast to get the Chalazones. All right? But they are small tribes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Turn, now what you have afterwards is...
Were there any important personalities that came from Yudhishthira?
No, Barak ben Avi Noam came from Yisachar. Okay, on page 442, I'm going to give you 440, Dan's confession.
Yeah, we have 443 here.
Yeah, 442.
442.
From the back, yeah, from the back. It says 440. Yisachar's singleness of heart, and then Zvulun's exhorts unto compassion. This is worth buying the book by itself. It's called The Testament of the 12 Tribes. This work has the entire Testament of the 12 Tribes in its entirety, which is on the deathbed of all the sons of Yaakov telling his descendants what lessons in life he learned. Okay, we're sort of running out of time, but take that and read it. Now look at the white page.
Okay. He's not fair, but to judge the up near our front.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Or and if Barak is her husband, then. Okay. It says here, this is from the Yalkut Me'am Loes. You familiar with them? No? Right. Vafa pisha b'nei Yisachar hayu chachamim gedolim yodei bina li'itim u'meirashay Sanhedrin hishrachku mikol gava u'kesheraum b'nei Zvulun b'kach אף הם לא יסקעו באושרם. ומכאן ילמדו לקח הן הגבירים והן התלמידים החכמים דרכים מן הגאווה. Yisachar never lorded it over anyone else because of his Torah, and Zvulun never lorded it over anyone else because of his riches. Mashal amad avadome. So that's why the B'nai Torah always give more kavod to the people who support them. That we learn from Yisachar and Zvulun. Right? It's great for a community when the gvirim are also b'nei Torah. Isn't that nice too? Right? Masha l'mad dover dome. L'melech echad sheya anav b'tachlis. V'lo ayob milvad nohag b'midazu. El agam kol sarav avadav k'sheya melech b'vakesh la'aso shum davar. Hayenotel eitzem yisarav afilu me'avadav. King was very humble. All of his servants were humble. And whenever the king wanted to do something, he would ask his servants and even in his officers their advice. U'k'sheya melech b'vakesh la'aso shum davar. And he did this always in order that the people should learn from him, like Hashem asks advice about how to create man, right? You got that? And he heard of some people in his kingdom that had no shame. They ate, they lived in the field like animals and didn't even wear clothes. They behaved like animals. Right? And he commanded to bring them in to wash them.
And dress them.
And dress them. With honorable dress. He brought them in to teach them how to learn the ways
manners.
Of manners. So that they could stand before the king and serve with honor and respect. And he wanted them to continue to grow in humility and modesty because of their very humble beginnings. And his wise men did what he commanded. L'achar shelimdu osam, yisyatzvu b'fanav yachad im ha'anashim ha'ela im ro'ay p'nei ha'melech. And they did, as he said, he washed them, he got them clothes, and he taught them nimusei, the normal manners. Avol k'shavar zman muat, hiska'u halolu b'libam k'sheru atzman b'chol osa gedula. They became more arrogant than the people who taught them. Shezachu liyos miro'ay p'nei ha'melech. Because they could now be in front of the king. Kas haMelech kas gadol v'hanisham. Sharei kol ma'alasam ha'isar shuyu shifle ruach. The whole point was to keep them, maintain them in their humble state. V'achshav niska'u, and now they became arrogant. Amar lahem, kodim sheves yeschem elai hi'isem mechus rebinu kebehema. Before I brought you before me, you were like animals. Lo yisim ruim li'anesh. You had no reason to be punished. עכשיו שנזכאיסם, הרי אני מחזיר אסכם למקומכם הראשון, וגם תיענשו בעונשים חמורים. I'm going to put you back to where you came from, and I'm also going to punish you. Hanimshal. What's the nimshal of this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shehu Melech Machayim Lachim. Makom Shemotzim Gedusam Otzim Andunusa. The more you see God's greatness, the more you see His humility. We say that at the end of Shabbos, mm-hmm. right? U'meshor sev harishonim hei malachei hasharis. The original workers were His angels. Shebaolam ha'emes ein kina ve'ein gava ve'ein tachris. There's no arrogance in the real world.
And there's no competition.
No competition. Korazel zev yamar, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. They're all equal. Klamar, b'shor sev malachei hasharis omrim shira lifnei kadosh baruch hu cholkim kavod zelozeh. And God chose from the dust. They were like animals. They were the same as animals, right? And He chose from the dust. Their source is the same. And he created them. At first, He walked around like an animal without clothes, right? And God taught the angels, when He created him, also respect. He asked the angels advice about how to create them. The angels advised him not even to create man. What is the purpose? What do you need man for anyway? We serve you with honor and respect and humility. Nonetheless, God chose man. And of all of man, God chose Israel. Because they are humility. You are the least of all the nations. That's why I chose you. If you're not humble, why bother praying even? If you don't remember that you come from dust, you're going to go back to dust. You're not going to go past the dust. Question I pose to you is, why is this here in the Yalkut Me'amloes on the pasuk about the Misachar being what they are? So it is that the whole point of Yisachar's Torah is to teach them the humility of dependence on Zvulun's money. God could have made Yisachar very wealthy too, right? But unless you're dependent, like, you know, unless you know you need other people, you're in need. You're needy. Now you could be wealthy and live that kind of existence too. I feel God on a daily basis. If I don't have you, I could just tomorrow come up with a bad report in the doctor's office, and what's all my money going to do? So that's the point of Yisachar's Torah, and it's the point also of Zvulun's Gashmias, is to recognize that the whole point of this Gashmias is to use it in the service of something more spiritual. So that's how these two boys are together and how they're treated together. Okay, all right, everyone, that is that's a take. I don't know if you can find it.
When Adam was, you know, unclothed. Okay. So now you.